Get Pucked.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Vito, Matt, and Dave here. Having a little laugh pre-recording at my expense, it would seem. That aside, again, want to just get out of the way. As accustomed, the last couple episodes, I like doing it right at the front. If you haven't already, please consider liking and subscribing. We really appreciate it. Helps with the whole algorithm thing on YouTube and whatnot. And of course, drop comments and, you know, we like chatting with you guys. If you guys have something you want to pick out from the episode, drop it in the comments. We're fairly active. We like to chat back with the listeners. So please feel free to do that. With that away, a couple things to talk about today. First thing that I want to talk to you guys about. There has been a list. This list has been released. It is the top 50 players under 25. And to my estimation, there is a massive omission of a certain Caden Gooley. Agree or disagree, Dave?
Maybe. I guess. I mean, it's so early to see. I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more of Caden Gooley. I'm looking at the list now. I mean, yeah, he could definitely pass some of these guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, how? It's like they didn't even look at any of the Habs players, really. It's crazy.
It's true. I mean, the fact that Jimmy Snuggerud is on this list.
Who?
Come on. You don't know Jimmy
like
Snuggerud?
An owl here.
I don't mean to.
He's a good player, but there's certain players that are playing right now in the NHL and are doing very well that should be on the list right now if you're going to do an under-24 list. And not to mention, how do you not? I have no problems with the players that are in the top five. I just still think that the order is a bit weird. Like, how can you justify putting Bedard ahead of Jack Hughes or Quinn Hughes? So the whole list from the start is a problem. Habs side, put the Habs aside on this. The list is questionable right off the bat.
So the integrity of the entire list is now up for debate, which is great because the fact that you don't have a guy like Caden Gooley even rounding the bottom of your list is outrageous to me.
So I'm trying to see like how they came up with it. And I'm not going to lie to you.
It darts
really
on a board.
They don't really say how they came up with it. Because if this is like a projection of what they think the top 50 players will be out of the under 24 group now, then I could understand a little bit more. Maybe they really, really think these guys are going to be better than Caden Gooley. But if it's for like right now, the top, top 50 under 24 right now, that's wrong. They asked Craig Button about it right here. Actually, I'm just reading up on it. Sorry. It says, why is Bedard ranked ahead of Quinn and Jack? Because it's not about today. It's about tomorrow. So that's
even still, go look at the last five names on the list. Just the last five names. You're telling me that Caden Gooley extrapolated from what he's done now, what he did in his juniors to where we think that he might go in the future, can't crack the top 50?
Probably could, yeah.
Listen, I know this is a Habs podcast. I know we put everybody who is a Canadiens player well above than what they might should be in real life. I understand everybody's going to say this. I just think that when I looked at it, looking at him in particular, of course, many people clamoring about this, which is why I wanted to ask you boys about it. I just couldn't fathom how a list could be put together where he doesn't at least trickle in from the 45 to 50. If you really, I think it's even higher potentially, but just there alone, it blows my mind.
Well,
my follow-up question was going to be, is he underrated?
Okay, maybe, but there's another player that should be on that list. Well, hold on. It's because I want to add, there's another player. If we're talking about what they're going to be like tomorrow, you can't have segments, be it on TSN or on other podcasts, and I'm talking about Craig Button, where he's talking about Lane Hudson being, an Adam Fox-like, and, look at what Lane Hudson is doing, and he's such a special player, and all this high praise to the guy, and then he doesn't even crack the top 50.
Well, you got to remember when Craig Button when anybody does any interview in a local market, they're pandering, right? Like you can't take necessarily what they say 100% at face value. That's my opinion. It's always been my opinion. When they come to Montreal, they're asked about a certain player. And most of the time, you're not going to trash that player or whatnot on Montreal radio. or Montreal TV or Montreal anything that's catered to the Montreal market. So you got to kind of be careful when these guys come out and say things like that. If is it really what they're feeling, or when they go to Ottawa, what are they saying about their prospects? You know what I mean? You kind of got to look at it that way. But at the end of the day, that's another good point. Lane Hutson probably does belong on this list, especially if it's about tomorrow. And it's a little mind-boggling now looking at this list. And
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
It's a little weird of how they've come up with it.
That's a horrible list.
It's a horrible list.
Normally, when I see these lists, I go through them, I'm entertained, or whatever, and I always end up saying, okay, we'll see in a couple of years how some of these players pan out, with the exception of the, you know, the Dahlins and the Hughes that are in this list and all that stuff. But the moment I saw this list, I was like, this is terrible. This is one of the worst lists I have seen in recent memory.
Yeah, it's not the best list. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm looking through this. It's not great.
It's not good. It's not good. I mean,
you have Matvei Michkov and Cutter Gauthier there. Okay, Michkov, I understand. He was considered the possible high generational talent. Cutter Gauthier is going to be a good player, but to have him there, like at number 17, even ahead of some of the other players that are currently doing stuff in the NHL and achieving great things right now, that's well, sorry, Philly fans. I'm not targeting you guys specifically. I just don't think Cutter Gauthier should be ahead of a lot of the players that are there right now.
But I'm willing to give it I'm interested to see back in 5 years how we're going to look back at this list. Because sometimes, you know, again, we're guilty of overanalyzing and overhyping certain players. So maybe these guys are really under the radar guys who are going to pass through. Another thing to remember when people make these lists, they need to be talked about. Right, so maybe some of these things are strategic moves where you leave one of the biggest fan bases, the loudest fan bases, you leave some of their guys off there and let them go at it, right? Like
that to I was me, gonna unfortunately, say that. Is like a direct, I mean, then you have zero integrity to what you actually do as a profession if you do that. I don't care. Clickbait and stuff.
Can I mention another player?
You can mention all you want.
Prior to this player actually being drafted by the Habs, okay, there was so much hype and praise on him on what he can be in the future. Okay, he's got the tools. He could be that next player. He's going to be a very key player, and it's Slafkovský. I don't say he's that player today, but everything that they hyped him up to be before the Montreal Canadiens drafted him, okay, was that he was going to be that rare type of player that it's not for today, it's for tomorrow. And he didn't even crack this list.
So right there, in addition to everything, he's a first overall pick that isn't in the top 25, under 25. Even, like you're saying, even if you look today, and he's not putting up the points today, I mean, is this list suggesting that it was a complete failure of a pick? Because that's what it is. That's what it's doing.
Yeah, it is.
That's essentially what it's implying. I mean, it's wild. It's a wild list, man.
To me, lists like these are not nonsensical, but you take them with a grain of salt, right? It's an opinion of one person, or in this case, maybe, is it just Craig Button? Or, I mean, the article itself was written by Steve Dryden. I don't know. Anyways, whoever's list this actually is, you take it with a bit of a grain of salt a little bit, because it's their opinion on these players, right? And then sometimes, like, I'd be interested to see. I mean, if I could speak to Craig Button, maybe we send him a request for an interview to just grill him on these numbers.
Justify this, which
I'm sure probably, you know, if you tune in, probably Mitch Melnick will hold him to the fire for these numbers or something over at 690. But it's almost indefensible some of these things as of today, right? To look and you say Slafkovský, a number one overall pick of just a few years ago, did Craig Button get lost in the media hype of everybody questioning Slafkovský and doing that, or is he you don't know where he's coming from, and that's why it's important. Like, I would love to have a discussion with him to see how in the world did you
He has Logan Cooley on that list, and he's the same draft year.
No, and understandably, Logan Cooley definitely belongs on that list.
100% he does.
It's just bizarre to me. It's bizarre to me.
It is bizarre.
That someone takes the time, like this probably took him a long time to compile a list like this, and this is what you come up with.
Or where are the honorable mentions? you know, or something, you know, like, oh, just barely missed out or whatever.
That's a cheap out.
But you know what?
I agree with it.
I want to see the name. At least show me the name. And you say take this with a grain of salt. I say take this with a shot of tequila or something, because you got to be drunk.
Everything should be taken with a shot of tequila.
Well, but look, it just doesn't make sense. Even not, hold on. Even if you put aside the Habs fans' biasness that we all probably possess, it's just logical. I mean, he's outright suggesting that Slav, now that we've deviated from the Cooley thing, Gooley, Slavkovsky not on this list is him full on, just no stop, terrible pick, going to be a bust, is not cracking the top 50 today, doesn't see the future there. It's like, that's what he's suggesting. I haven't seen anybody in the media actually say that. Not once. Even with the current pace that he's on now with the points this year and stuff, nobody's suggesting this guy's going to be bad. They're like, oh, maybe he shouldn't have gone first. Maybe Cooley, whatever.
Well, I mean, for me, whatever. From what I see here, they're suggesting that draft, despite what they said in the past, it should have been Logan Cooley first overall pick.
Is Shane Wright on that list?
No. Nope.
Okay, so that's what he's suggesting. He was a Logan Cooley guy, and that's what he's saying. And even Shane Wright and Slavkovsky, who are, let's just, even if it wasn't 1 and 4, whatever, like a top 5 pick, they don't crack the list. That's really, really crazy stuff to me. So if you haven't seen it, obviously I suggest to go. I mean, I'm giving the sort of announcement to go see this list, even though all three of us are suggesting that it's completely bananas. But you might as well take the time, give a couple of clicks to them, go look at the list, make the decision for yourselves. And then drop a comment and tell us what you guys think of the list also. Lots of people out there have problems with it. Even like Vito said, starting at the very top, while Connor Bedard is likely a generational talent and will likely be one of the best hockey players to have ever played in the NHL, as it stands today, you know, does he really fit the number one with when you have Jack Hughes out there that's pulling down 100-point seasons already as of last year, and some of the other guys that are in the top five? So let us know what you think about that. Very curious. But I did want to move on to something else that I thought was fun to talk about here. We're a Habs podcast, no doubt. But I want to take a step back for a second. And I want to look at the Edmonton Oilers. Because there's something going on in Edmonton. This team is terrible. Is terrible. It is fundamentally flawed. Their goalie situation is just outrageous. The fact that you have arguably 1 and 2 best players in the world playing for your team, are they a testament and proof that if you don't have a well-rounded team, you will never achieve success in this league? Is this now the banner, the gold standard? You have 2 of the best players in the world. They just can't carry this team. And now kind of bringing it back to more of the Canadian side of things, what fleecing is Kent Hughes going to do to Edmonton with the goalie situation, if any?
It's too late for them. There's no point for them to make a move.
They have to do something.
They have to do something. But I don't think getting Jake Allen is going to do anything for them. Absolutely I don't think not. Getting Sam Montembeault is going to do anything for them. I don't think Caden Primo is going to do it. You know, that's not the type of trade that Edmonton needs to make right now. Maybe that move would have worked 3 weeks ago. But it's too late, man. It's too late for them to do it. They have to win at a ridiculous pace in order to get anywhere. Getting Sam Montembeault, Caden Primo is not the answer. They're not a well-rounded team, as you said. For sure, it's a testament. And you've seen it with the Leafs. You've seen it. You can't just be top-heavy. Because in this league, no matter how good you are, teams are going to learn your strengths, and they're going to throw all their efforts into shutting that down. And you can't ask Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl for 82 games, fine. For 160 games, fine. For 240 games, fine. But now we're getting to be, it's like year 5 of them having to do absolutely everything. Like, you can't do it. They're great generational players, both of them. But you can't ask them day in and day out with the every team throwing everything they got at them to overcome that for the next 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. It doesn't work. You need a well-balanced team, absolutely. The defense is terrible. Atrocious. And the goaltending is atrocious. The goaltending is god-awful. And everybody saw it coming with the Jack Campbell move. every single person in the world. I don't think anybody said that was a good signing. Was Jack?
That was a that was a desperation move.
That right it was. There. It was special.
It was nuts. And now you go. I mean, like, teams can survive with okay goaltending, but they don't even have okay goaltending. And to me, what's bizarre, even more bizarre, is they're not even like try anything, man. Call some more goaltenders up. Try to see if you have a stroke of luck with anybody. Picks up. Like, to me, they stayed pat for so long with the Campbell and Skinner, and now that, you know, they bring up Picard or whatever, like whatever you want to do. To me, it's I don't know, man. Edmonton is a tire fire. And yes, it's absolute, to answer your question, it's a testament that you need a well-rounded team. You don't necessarily need a superstar goaltender, because that doesn't work either. If you throw all your cap at a goaltender, we've seen that not work in the past, but you need a decent goaltender, good defense, and very good defense, I would argue, in order to have any success. And I think people were blinded. Mike Smith was a terrible goaltender during the time he was with Edmonton. Don't get me wrong, he was good in the beginning of his career, but when he got to Edmonton, he was terrible. And they somehow got to the conference finals, and everybody got excited, and they're like, oh, maybe they can do it. Maybe McDavid and Draisaitl could put everybody on their back, and it's fine, but you can't do it long term. And that, you're starting to see the effects of it. You're starting to see the Connor McDavid cam of him slowly breaking down.
Oh, he looks so miserable. It's so bad.
The despair is setting into his face, and it's just, it's sad.
Yeah.
I think Ken Holland waiting, as long as he's been waiting to acquire a goalie, put him in a position now where they're a bit too late. I think it was Eric Engels last night who did the math, and he said that last year for a team in the West to make the playoffs had to get 95 points, which means that Edmonton, if I look at this right, they'd have to get 84 points over their next 64 games just to get to 95. It kind of happened last year. The difference is that they had a hot Skinner that was going in. Campbell wasn't as bad as this year.
That's it. The context is totally different. They don't have the goaltending to do it.
And now I think that the longer he's waiting, I understand, don't make a move, you know, out of desperation, because they've already done that in the past with Campbell. So they're trying to avoid that and seeing if the cost is going to come down. But at what cost? Because now you got two generational talents that are miserable on the team, that are probably contemplating their careers there, that are likely not going to make the playoffs at this pace. And we're wasting another year of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl's talent. So Ken Holland either needs to make a move ASAP to even give him any slight chance and hope, or it's done. You already got rid of your coach. The next thing, in my opinion, would probably be get rid of the GM and just say this year's a lost year. Sorry, Edmonton fans, but even the proposed deals that you guys are suggesting on your own podcasts are ridiculous.
Some of those are crazy bad. So, but there are certain rumors that are out there that have restarted again for the goalie situation, because that's really all they can do. They're not going to go out and make any big deals to get defense. That's just not going to happen.
Calgary's not going to give them one of the defensemen that.
So it's really goaltending, and now people are suggesting they're looking at Philadelphia and at Carter Hart again. And Carter Hart might be the guy to go for, but I don't see Carter Hart. Honestly, at this point, Carter Hart and Sam Montembeau, to me, are pretty much right there with each other. Carter Hart has not been playing as good as he was touted to be. And when it comes to Monty's on a super hot streak. He just had that win in Anaheim the other night, which by all accounts, for those that stayed up late and watched it, he was a major, major factor as to why they were able to win their first regulation game in Anaheim in years.
Yeah, okay, he was a major factor, but he's not the answer, I don't think.
He's not the answer, but again, desperate people, and people always do things. You look at Marc Bergevin's tenure here and the last-ditch effort to get a bunch of guys in to save his job. Ken Holland is going to have to do something. The only something he can do to show to McDavid and Draisaitl and the rest of the players, I'm doing something to try to help you guys, is to go acquire a goalie, because their current goalies are below .900 every night of the week. So what do you do? Who's got a goalie for him?
go elsewhere. He's got to do something. Go knock on Anaheim's door, see what John Gibson's doing. See if you could get him there. They have Dostal Wright or whatever coming in. Seems to be a next man up. Like, I don't know. I think there's better goaltenders available. And we look at it through the lens of the Habs. Yeah, sure. Montembeau, Primo, they're all there for the taking. I just don't think, like, will Edmonton, like, if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, are you excited about the prospect of them going to get Sam Montembeau? Like, realistically?
I would have to say, on behalf of them, that I don't actually, I'm not an Edmonton fan, but I would have to assume, no, you'd be pretty pissed.
Yeah.
But that being said, how much longer are you prepared to watch the dumpster? I mean, they're throwing jerseys in the trash can.
Well,
I'm seeing things like, you want something. You need something to happen.
Saddle up, because you're going to see that for a while. This is going to be a lost season, in my opinion. And I think that the only move that would appease the Oiler fan base is to fire Ken Holland and to move on to the next general manager and to restart a kind of a... You don't have to rebuild when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. You just have to make better decisions. You have to make better decisions when it comes to goaltending, when it comes to defense, when it comes to everything. I mean, they surrounded them well, right? Evander Kane was a great move. Zach Hyman was a good move. Like, they've done some good moves up front. It's just the defense that it's the Nurse contract is going to hurt them forever. And it's just, they're kind of just stuck, you know, and the goaltending is just so laughable. And it's just,
that fell off a cliff. I don't think anybody thought that they would be as bad as they are. I mean, no. Campbell, I don't think was ever the answer. Yeah. I never believed in him when he was at Toronto. And when they signed him the $5 million, 5-year deal, I thought that was crazy. But it just, they likely never expected it to be what it became. And now you have to pivot. And I think when it comes down to it, it's ultimately going to just have to be that he's going to pull the trigger on something. And the reason why I think it's not going to be a John Gibson or a bigger name goalie, and it would be a flyer on a Flyers goalie like Carter Hart or Montembeau or Primo, for example, is because it won't cost as much.
Oof, you get
John Gibson, you're going to be paying a lot.
I think you'll probably get paying a lot for Carter, a goaltender like Carter Hart as well. I think Carter Hart is overrated. And I think that you're going to have to pay a lot for Carter Hart. I don't think Carter Hart is in the same category in terms of returns than Sam Montembeau or Kane Primo or whatever. I think you're looking at what?
That's a take right there.
What, you know, you think that he is? You think that Sam Montembeau will get more in return than Carter Hart?
No, Carter Hart would definitely get more.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah, so that's what I think to me. And in my opinion, like, Carter Hart is not one of those guys that you take a flyer on, you know, to use your pun. I think he's a guy who's already kind of established in the league, and it's going to cost a lot to get him.
I mean, at this given point, I know that it's the one thing, it's that sort of, you know, train wreck that's on the side as you're driving by that everybody in the NHL is looking at. It kind of just boggles the mind with how you have such tremendous talent on your team and how you're basically at the bottom of the standings and night in and night out, you're letting in 5-6 goals. It's incredible. And I think that look that you brought up, Dave, about McDavid on the bench and that absolute personification of despair that's just all over his face is a huge, huge, huge problem for the NHL at large, because you want a guy like McDavid to succeed. This is a big thing for the NHL. Like, with him playing bad and looking miserable, it's a bad look across the board. And I'm not suggesting the NHL is going to come in by any stretch and force Holland to do something, but they might go and you know, Bettman might, through his back channels, might speak to the owner and say, "Hey man, you better do something, because this is a black eye on the league in general. Like, you can't just leave a status quo," which is what it's been doing. And again, it's because of a fear of doing something out of a place of desperation and ultimately regretting it in the future.
There's no way Bettman would get involved and say anything like that. And I'll tell you why.
Back channels.
He won't do any of that, because Leon Draisaitl's got one more year on his contract after this year. Connor McDavid's got another 2 years after that. If those guys are unhappy, do you think they're going to stay in Edmonton or will likely try to pursue their careers elsewhere, maybe even in an American market? You know, right now, the way the Edmonton Oilers are, they're not going to turn it around over the next 1 year or two. That's for sure. Unless they make some significant changes. And when you look at the assets they have on their current roster, other than McDavid, other than Draisaitl, hold on, let me pull it up. Everybody else is extremely expensive and is not attractive to other teams to really bring in such like a huge haul.
Well, I'll tell you this much, man. If you're suggesting that within the next 1 to 2 years they have no prayer of winning the cup, then McDavid and Draisaitl, 1,000,000,000% are not Edmonton Oilers at the end of their 100%. Contracts.
I don't think that's something that anybody in the league wants. I think that's a scary proposition. Connor McDavid on a good team is a scary proposition.
I mean, wild stuff. And that's
every
why
single if they, team no, in the NHL believe, will line up for him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and if Edmonton brass, whoever takes after Holland, because for sure he's not going to last this year. It's impossible. Whoever takes over, if they're gonna say we can't make the window, we're gonna need to rebuild. It's gonna take 5-6 more years minimum. We gotta blow it all up. Connor, Leon, thank you for your service. We love what you did here. Are you prepared to stick? If they have any brains, they're gonna say no, then they gotta come back and say, okay, guys, we're gonna try to get a king's ransom for you. We're gonna trade you. We're not going to let your contracts expire. We're going to have to trade you. Could you imagine what that's going to be like? That in itself is a super crazy proposition that is more and more becoming likely every day and every second they don't do something to try to turn the ship around this year.
Well, that's the thing. It's not even about turning the ship around this year in the sense of like making the playoffs. They got to turn the ship around so they could try to keep both those guys and keep them happy. They got to make the moves now for tomorrow. That's unfortunate. That's the position they put themselves in because there aren't many attractive assets today. In their prospect pool, there's a few pieces there that can be attractive. But what's that going to get you? That's not going to change the look of your team overnight where you say, okay, you're not making the playoffs, so all of a sudden they're Stanley Cup contenders. And it's crazy to say that when you have a team with the likes of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins at $5.1 million, and that you're looking at that team and you're saying you're not even a playoff team right now. That's crazy.
I think there's one thing that like there may be a lot. They're a lot worse right now than what they probably are. Right. I think that they're still in my mind. I mean, if you get a good goaltender in there and you maybe shore up your defense just a little bit and play a little bit tighter. I mean, I think they're still a playoff team in my mind. So I think a lot of people, you look at the record right now and you're like, ah, they're a dumpster fire or whatnot. But I think they're, man, if they can make the right moves, like, I don't think they're that far off. So.
But everybody knows it, Dave.
Well, everybody's
Nobody's going to ask. They're going to ask for the moon because they know it. They know that they're right there. And if they don't course correct, the whole thing might explode.
I understand that. And, you know, with Ken Holland, I have a little bit less hope, but if they make him a switch at GM, you know, some people just have a way of making things work. And some people have a way of finding the right guys and convincing other general managers, don't make me tap the sign, to make ridiculous offers. And that's what's, you know, I think that right now it's fun to watch the Edmonton dumpster fire. It's fun to point and look and be like, oh man, what a disaster. But I don't think they're as much of a disaster as we're seeing right now. I think that there's a world where they could kind of turn around. Maybe not this season, but there's a world where it's not like, man, there's no window open for them for the next 2 years.
They're not the Columbus Blue Jackets or the Chicago Blackhawks bad. They're not at that level. But those teams are rebuilding teams. They weren't teams mm-hmm. that you're looking and saying, okay, the Edmonton Oilers were a contending team, or you know, they're trying to make the playoffs. We expect them to go far into the playoffs. They're not that, but they're bad for a contending team, or supposedly what was supposed to be a contending team. Yeah. So yes, I do agree with you though. One good goalie, some depth on defense to stabilize things a little bit, and I think that they're back in it to a certain degree. But the problem with the defense is not just the personnel and the players on the ice. It's literally structurally, it's just wrong. There's something off there with coaching. The strategies is just not right. I mean, I was watching the game the other night, and at a point, it's like I was looking. Where was Cody Ceci going when the puck got in front of the net?
No, well, when you're playing that bad,
Bouchard is awful defensively. Yeah, like yeah. What the heck is wrong with you?
That game against Carolina was, I think, it was last night. Carolina,
it was last night.
It was a disaster. It was like you take that game and you say, "This is how you do not play defense." And the problem is Cody Ceci was a mess 4 years ago. Like, seems to me in my mind, Cody Ceci was done like 3-4 years ago. And you look at that and you're like, how is he still there? And how is he still an important part of that defense? I don't understand it.
They made some pretty bad decisions overall in hindsight. I mean, to your point, are they as bad as they're playing? No, they probably aren't. And if their goaltending would have been 50% better, not 100% better, 50% better, and if their defense was maybe 25% better than what they've been playing, they're putting together a bunch more wins and no one's really talking about it. But the fact remains, you are where you are. I mean, the Canadians weren't as bad as they've been the past couple of years, but injuries added up and that became the thing. So these things happen and you have to account for it. And the fact remains that people have been fired for less. They fired their coach because that's the first thing you do in this league. And quite obviously, and most people saw it right from the get-go, it wasn't the coach's fault. And that really actually pissed the players off more than anything. And now add to the fact that the GM's got to be next, and especially because he's in a lose-lose. No matter what he does, it's going to be bad. He's going to overpay for something, and it can't possibly fix it this year. And if anything, it's going to buy a little bit of life support for him, but he's going to get let go. And if he does nothing, then there's no reason for this team to suddenly just turn around, and it's just going to be bad to the end, and then he's going to be gone too. But fundamentally, their biggest hole, their biggest problem is goaltending. And you got to bring it back, because this is what we do on this particular podcast, to the Canadians, who have a plethora of goalies ready to trade, none of whom, we're all in agreement, will fix that problem. But to a desperate man who's trying to save his job, he sees a goaltender, he sees a hot hand like Monty, because I don't think it's going to be Allen. And apparently the Canadians don't want to trade Allen, so we'll just park that for another thing. Primo is too young and too inexperienced to really be the one that you can say, oh, I went and got Caden Primo from Montreal, the season is going to be saved. I don't think so. Montembeau, since that tournament he was in and the tail end of last year and throughout the majority of this year, for most games, has looked very good. Doesn't look out of place. Looks like he's an NHL goalie. Is he a 1A? We don't think so, but he can do it. Is he better than what they're getting over in Edmonton? Yes, he is. But are they prepared to pay what is likely Kent Hughes' over-ask, which there's been all kinds of things. He wants a first and a third, or he wants a first and one of their top prospects, or whatever the case may be. I think in this particular case, flipping the optics, Montreal needs Sam Montembeau more than they need to get rid of him. So they will ask for a lot. And I don't think they're going to help Edmonton in any way, shape, or form by accommodating a trade just to get the third goalie off their roster.
I want to add that while I do think that their goaltending is a big issue for Edmonton, right now the bigger issue is the fact that Connor McDavid's having one of the worst starts of his career so far. And that goes to prove that that's the engine that keeps on going in Edmonton. If that engine ain't going, nothing's happening with the Edmonton.
Well, he masks the problems.
Well, yeah, for sure. And again, they're just asking too much of him, man. You can't ask too much of a player. It's not going to work on a long-term basis. And it's for too long now, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have been the heartbeat of this team. And not only the heartbeat, but like freaking everything else, every other organ you can name. They're carrying this entire team on their backs, and you can't ask that. Like, eventually they're going to fall off a cliff. You could just see in his face, he's just exhausted, like probably mentally exhausted from having to do that all the time. And it's too much to ask of these guys to do that. And I think that if you could balance it out a little bit more, you'll see the Connor McDavid of not of old, because I mean, whatever,
of just a year ago,
the usual Connor McDavid that we're used to seeing, you know what I mean? Like, a down year is normal, but what down year on the Edmonton Oilers is a disaster right now because of how the team is built. So,
guys, I don't want to bash Montembeau, okay? But when we're talking about he being the solution to solve or being somebody to solve a lot of Edmonton's problems, that's how it goes back to what I said. Goaltending in the NHL right now is very, very sketchy. It's very.
But Montembeau, can't you see Montembeau? Like, as much as I'm saying that he's not the answer in Edmonton and whatnot, Montembeau is the type of goaltender who could probably put together a 30 to 40 game stretch of being very, very good, right? And then, you know, kind of like, you know, there's goaltenders that have done that countless times. Matt Murray at the beginning of his career, Jordan Binnington, they're able to put, and I'm not saying he's those guys, like, don't get me wrong, don't come at me. I'm just saying that he's a guy who you could see come in, and I could see him in that Oilers blue and orange and come in and play very good for like 35 to 45 games. And that's the thing that's like, you have to kind of, if you're Edmonton, man, like, and if you're an Edmonton fan, you're kind of like, man, I don't want that move to be done whatsoever, especially not this year. It's too late. It's too late.
It 100% it's done. But the fact remains, and it comes back to this, Ken Holland is not listening to the fan base.
Quite I'm taking Ken Holland's keys away. If I own the Edmonton, Ken Holland does not have the keys anymore, man. Like,
at the end of the day, you cannot
let him do that right now.
Agreed. But that falls on the responsibility of ownership or the president of hockey ops if they have one. And if they don't, then it's ownership for sure. And if it happens and he does something, he pulls the trigger on something that ultimately ends up being like a Montembeau and an overpayment, and Monty goes on a bit of a stretch and things feel good again, but then Monty becomes the Monty that we know, then you're going to look like you made a massive mistake, and they're going to riot in Edmonton. And unfortunately, I think it's inevitable. He's going to have to do something. It's what is he going to do? How bad is it going to be in the long run for Edmonton for this guy to do something to keep his job?
Well, I'll tell you this. The longer it goes without him making a move, the more it's not going to happen. Or it's going to become a bigger play.
I just don't see it.
Like if I were Ken Holland now, or if I'm the ownership or whoever's running the show right now, if you in your mind have put it that, oh, there's really no chance we're making the playoffs this year, then work towards next year and make an even bigger splash for a more consistent, better, higher name goalie.
If I'm Edmonton ownership, I get rid of Ken Holland. I bring in somebody new. Although it's just so weird that they let him fire the coach and like kind of, anyways, it's a mess. Don't get me started on that. If I think about it too much, my head hurts. But I fire Ken Holland. I make the move to the next guy, whoever's the future, and you give him one mandate: be extremely creative in offloading some contracts here at the trade deadline. Do as much as you can to clean up this team so that we could go and maybe make a move for a goaltender and to shore up the defense next year. I don't know how you do it, but that's what you have to do. That's the only option for them. You cannot ride Ken Holland for this long. It's just, and if they bring, I know they won't, but I mean, like, forget the Ken Hollands and the Peter Chiarellis and forget these guys, man. Move on to something
never.
New.
Never. There will always be a spot in the NHL for these guys. Always.
When I heard Ottawa and Peter Chiarelli, it's just like, are you out of your mind? Like, what's going on here?
It's great. Well, isn't he currently with Chiarelli's with St. Louis, right? He's
a
scout or something or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, listen, we steered way off the typical landscape of Montreal Canadiens for this one, but it was just too much of a topic to ignore, because what's been happening there has been one of those things that, and it was kind of parroted a little bit as a final thought. It was kind of out of context, but basically Kent Hughes looked at this and answered in some interview that go look at Edmonton, getting guys at the best, forget good players, the best players. McDavid and Draisaitl, and they can't keep the team afloat if you don't have decent goaltending and if you don't have a well-rounded team.
Well, there's two teams in the league. You can't just
build
now.
A team based on a superstar. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
In the league now. You got to throw in the Maple Leafs in that same statement because they're the same thing. They have a lot more talent up front than the Edmonton Oilers, but you're still talking about a team that's built on superstars and are not well-rounded enough to go really far and become the contenders that we refer to.
That's it. I mean, listen, we can get into a deep dive. I'm sorry about my camera. It's going nuts. But we can get into a deep dive about Toronto and the comparisons with Edmonton at another time. For this particular episode, we're going to bring it to a close. And I open up the forum, if you will, to all the listeners who have the opportunity to take a minute or two to write a comment and let us know your feelings about what you think Edmonton should do, how it might relate to Montreal. Is Montreal a destination for one of the goalies that they have to go and fix, quote unquote, something over at Edmonton? Or is this like just wishful thinking that Kent Holland's going to get fleeced by Kent Hughes? Ken Holland. But yeah, we'd like to know what you guys have to think about that. And of course, going back to the first topic, let us know about the top 50 under 25. Take a peek at that. Make sure you have a full stomach, because you're going to yak once you get through it all. Let us know. So for Dave and Vito, I'm Matt, and this was Get Pucked.